This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's Cynthia.
Good morning, Cynthia. All right. Our sponsors today, Texan Roofing, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, Galveston right now down on the island, it's 66 degrees. And today, sunny to partly cloudy, high of 81, northeast winds 10 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 70, northeast 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 82, northeast winds 10 to 15. How about these northeast winds for quite a while now? That's pretty strange. Well, I like it. Feels good. It's welcoming weather, so I'll take it. And if you like your tides yesterday, you'll love them again today. Pretty much the same. We have one tide remaining. We're sitting on a high right now that occurred at the Galveston Channel at 12:38 a.m. It was 1.9, and we have a low coming up this evening at 3:53 p.m. It's an 0.1. 7:13 a.m. sunrise, 7:04 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase is 36%. Current conditions right now, over at Eagle Point, we have a northeast wind at 15 to 16 miles per hour. Air temperature is 72 degrees and water temp 75. And at Morgan's Point, it's 69 degrees with 78 degree water, and winds are down pretty good. They're northeast at about 3. So, same old thing every morning, which we'll take. That's better than a southwest or a pumping south we had all summer long. So, we'll take these conditions and deal with them. All right, let's go down to the Tri-Bay area and let's get plugged in with a hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what he's up to. Glenn, good morning. How are you, man?
Doing just fine. Good morning to you, Captain Mickey. How's everything over there on your end?
Just peachy. Everything's good, buddy.
Yay. Well, we got out and did our little ranch cleanup out in Sweeney yesterday.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go out there and get that going.
Fight the bees. No, luckily, we didn't have any. There was some up in the top of the deer cleaning barn, but they were kind of, that cool weather's got them kind of dormant. They were
bees or wasps?
No, they were yellow jackets.
Oh, yeah, wasps. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, they there was actually honeybees. Bumblebees out there also. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, the territory was real dry. They haven't had, you know, I don't know how they missed the rain, but the little sloughs and ponds out there wasn't totally dried up, but there wasn't very much water on the land, which is good because it gets pretty slick and nasty trying to get out. You know, this whole ranch, him and his buddy went in on 1,000 acres, and they both own 500 acres of this old dairy farm land. We've got palmettos everywhere. You can tell it's old river bottom stuff. Yeah. But man, you gotta shoo the deer out of the way to get, we got to go through like four different gates of different properties to get back to where they are. And they're way back in there. And just absolutely gorgeous piece of land with probably 100-150-year-old oak trees and pecan trees. I mean, these are just a awesome territory.
Yeah, sounds like a beautiful piece of property.
Oh, I'm telling you, Captain. And upon arrival, I don't have to refer to him as my neighbor. His name is Brandon, and I'm very, very proud of him, man. He just completed his Coast Guard course, and he's the newest captain that I know of, Captain Brandon Harper. I've always called him my neighbor. I've known him since he was a youngster. He's fished with me for years and years and years, and he's going to do it on his own now. So I tell my hat's off to anybody that goes through that course. It's not a given. You know, they make you work for it, but you know, he had a little trouble getting through the chart plotting, like probably quite a few of us did. I know I did. It took me a while to get through it.
60 D Street. Just remember the formula, 60 D Street.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But anyway, upon arrival, he took a picture of a bald eagle sitting up in one of those big oak trees. Mm. Now, I've heard that they're on a comeback. Is there anything to it?
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah.
Well, that was
a lot of them over my way now, all up and down the Trinity River watershed and down on the bay, and we've got quite a few.
That was the first I've seen out in the wild like that. I guess I've seen them in other states, but never here. So anyway, we got a bald eagle hanging around out there. We took Doug that owns a ranch, Doug Turner. He had this long extension battery operated pole saw, you know, chainsaw on an extension pole.
Yeah, that's a cool tool.
Boy, let me tell you, because those old muscadine grapevines were you draping down in front of your view, your field of view there on the in the stands, you know what I mean? So we just trimmed, weed-eated around everything and used that saw to trim all the limbs to hanging down in the way. And so we had like one blind had got blown over. It was a box blind, and it's on the ground. It wasn't elevated about maybe a half a foot up off the ground. And it had blown over, so we had to refix the structure of it, the foundation of it, and kind of add some boards and this and that. And then we stood it up, got her set in place, and shook everything out and cleaned everything out. But we spent a day out there, man. I bet you I was on the lawnmower for probably 3.5 hours at least, and I know Doug mowed for about an hour. But his tractor, what happened, Hurricane Harvey came through there and put about 2.5-3 foot of water inside of his barn, and he was never able to get his tractor out, and the tractor is almost like new. So one accomplishment we made yesterday was using the four-wheel drives and getting a box, not a box blade, but the mower on the back of the tractor had to disconnect.
Brush hog.
You brush hog, yes, sir. And get it out of there to where we could get to the tractor, get something and back the tractor out of there. And then we got it up on a trailer. And so he's hauling it in to have it worked on. So maybe I won't have to take the riding lawnmower out there. So it's just a beautiful place, man. Had a beautiful day out there. Nancy, Doug's wife, brought all the trimmings for fajita tacos. She brought 2 pounds of chicken and 2 pounds of beef already marinated, fajita meat, and I fired up the grill, and so we had us a nice lunch out there, and just spent a day out in the country, man. It was wonderful. We were all at the gate at 9 o'clock, and I got home about 5:30 yesterday afternoon, about 6 o'clock actually. So we spent a full day, you know what I mean. If you want it to be nice, you're gonna have to spend some time. So that's what we did. But let's see, we seen deer everywhere, man. We seen some nice, really nice racks on the deers. I mean, they're smaller deer, and there's a lot of them, but buddy, they got some nice horns out there, which I don't really, you know, I'm not really a trophy hunter, never have been. I've always been a meat hunter. Whenever I've got an opportunity to go out and shoot something, man, if they let you take a doe or whatever, I don't hesitate. I put one on the ground and And I head to Belleville.
That's, yes, sir.
That's about the only place I've ever took my stuff. I've always been happy with the way they prepare it. No matter what you, how you want it prepared, they can do it out there. So anyway, just a wonderful day at the ranch, and I wanted to congratulate Brandon, man, because like I said, you can think you can just go in there and pay for the course and turn out a captain, but they make you work a little harder for it.
No, you got to put effort into it. It's like anything; you just got to study.
Yes, sir. Yes,
gotta
sir.
Study.
Hey, man, that cooler weather. We got a 63-degree with about a 10, maybe 15-mile-an-hour north wind this morning. It's already huffing. I mean, I could hear it coming through the screen door on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
But does it feel nice with that humidity way down? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to kind of come back, creep back in this week. It's going to get a little warmer.
Yeah, no, we're not done with summer yet. Hopefully,
I wish could stay like this year round. This would be sweet.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Me too. You know, it didn't keep the people showed up in force yesterday morning before I left here. I looked over at my little local boat ramp, and there must have been 40 trucks over there at least.
Good Lord.
I mean, everybody and their brothers out fishing. And I don't know if it's the way the economy is right now. Everybody's living off the resources or what, but there's no shortage of fishermen in our area, I'll tell you that. In our bait camps, they're holding beautiful shrimp. They're kind of a mix, you know, maybe a few brownies in there. Mostly white shrimp. They got a good hard crusty bottle shell to them, and plenty of bait in all the bait camps. I've seen flags flying yesterday. Not as many croaker flags as I did shrimp flags, the white flags. Mm. But you know, you can get your mud minnows and finger mullet and all that if you're a bait fisherman. I have so many people wanting to go catch a flounder, and you know, I used to target flounder. I didn't strictly target them with finger mullet or mud minnows when I really wanted them. And I go sit on a drain, some kind of a ditch, some kind of bio where the drops off, you know, some kind of flounder or those ambushers where they like to lay on the inclines. They like to lay on a drop off or an angle and just pop that bait as the current brings it to them. And they're very smart. They face the current just like any other fish, all school fish. Swim towards the current, face the current, and those flounder are no different. But I just, I'd rather catch a little bit of everything than just try to target one type of fish. You know, I don't do, there's other people that'll do flounder trips, but I just like to mix it up, man. I love to catch reds and stuff. And I'd only had that one trip this week, and that was on Tuesday. We ended up with, we had three reds and a trout and some other mixed in panfish, but that was only in a couple of hours that we were out there too and using live bait. But everything looks good, man. Boat ramps, if you got a big old boat and you need to deep, it calls for a deep draft, you can always go to San Luis Pass or either underneath the Surfside Bridge. If you buy something from the bait camp, Bridge Bait and Tackle, you buy something from them, they'll let you launch free at their ramp. If not, it's a private ramp. So you can launch there if you have a big boat, or you go to San Luis Pass. They got a wonderful ramp down there that accommodate larger boats. If you got a small boat, there's several boat ramps down here at the jetties and underneath the bridge and over here behind my house. Anyway, the boat ramps are all open and clear. And actually, I've seen the county down here doing some woodwork from where Hurricane Nicholas last year had kind of messed up some of the planks on the docks and knocked the steps off of them and this and that, and they've been repairing them. So, you know, the boat ramps look good, bait camps look good, everything else looks pretty good down here. It's looking back to, I picked and put my boat back in the shop because I got some kind of oil leaking out of the back of it. And, you know, I hadn't had it out of the shop too long. I don't know what came loose or what happened. But it's not lower unit grease, and it's coming from where the exhaust, the little exhaust hole on the back of my Honda, right up underneath there, is got some oil dripping out. So that's never good. But they're going to try to get me in this week. I canceled.
Well, it's
got to
be coming out from under the cowling and just draining out there. Just pull the cowling off and look under there and see where the
Well, yes, I did. I couldn't see exactly where it's coming from, but they're going to get me in there. They're going to get me in there and get it fixed up. And luckily, I don't have anything really on the calendar right now. I think on the 10th, I have a donation trip that I have to, I mean, not have to, but I donated a trip, and I'm finally going to get those. We've canceled a couple different times for that on account of the weather. But anyway, looks good in the Tri-Bay area, Captain Mickey.
Well, that's good to hear. Anybody wants to come down and fish with you, how they get a hold of you, Glenn?
The easiest way is to reach me on my old-timey cell phone at 713-208-0683, man. Y'all have a happy, fun Sunday, and hope everything goes great for everybody.
We're going to do it, day. Buddy. All right, Glenn, well, you have a good one, too. See you, man. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, later. All right, that's the hammer down in the Tri-Bay area. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, we're going to go to Jeff Naylor, Captain Jeff Naylor, a little early this morning. I was trying to get a hold of Richard for the second segment, Richard Totch, up at Conroe, because they had a boat crash up there yesterday about 5 o'clock in the evening. And multiple people were injured. They were thrown in the water after two boats collided on Lake Conroe. I don't understand how that happens. Two boats collide. You'd think both boat drivers would be paying attention. One of them, at least one of them anyway. But things do happen. One was killed and three are hurt. Multiple people were thrown in the water. Montgomery County Constable's office, they were talking, they arrived on the scene. CPR was being administered to one and was taken to the HCA Conroe Hospital in critical condition, and two other victims were taken to the hospital, and apparently one of them died, so there's one dead and two pretty critical, it sounds like. So, man, people, watch. Just pay attention when you're running your boats. Goodness gracious. The only time I've ever had a close call is when I've kind of been wading in the water and have somebody just run down a shoreline not paying attention, almost wipe everybody out. But that's, I tell you, you got to watch out for the other guy. Got to do it. All right, let's go to Captain Jeff Naylor down in Freeport and check in with him this morning. Jeff, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing?
Well, I'm coming to you early because I guess Richard's taking a day off. I know he was fishing yesterday, but I don't know whether he was on the lake when this happened or not. But Texas Parks and Wildlife, they're now conducting an investigation. So we'll see what transpires from that.
Ah, man, what a shame. You know, what a shame. It's, yep. You know, you'd think you kind of pass summer a little bit and these kind of things, these stories are dwindling off until, you know, next summer. But here we are. I mean, these bull tides and we're going to start getting some fog here coming in the next few months and winter and everything else. I mean, boy, you really got to stay in tune to what you're doing. You know, put that phone down by all means, and it is not that important.
Yeah, you know? When you're running a boat, you can have no distractions whatsoever. You know, I've called people down all the time. They'll kind of get standing next to you while you're running, holding onto the console, and kind of get in front of you, blocking your view. And I said, man, you're going to have to move over. I got to be able to, I need a field of view. I want to be able to see everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, funny you even said that, too. And I'm going to mention this one little story about myself a few weeks ago. I was, we threw the bay boat in, and we were driving up the canals into one of the marinas here. And it's got a real tight channel, grass, grown up about 4 or 5 feet on each side. And then the channel I'm talking about probably not more than 25 foot wide, And
right.
From a good distance as I was entering it, I looked down the channel there and I see just this ball of water. I mean, 20 foot tall ball of water. And I was thinking, what in the world? And I went down and sure enough, it was one of those really go fast bay boats. I mean, and he must have had that prop. I mean, buddy, he had a wall of water behind that boat. And I tell you what, I squeezed by him and just got drenched. I mean, and anybody who was anywhere around it, I mean, it would just, you can see
He's
through
running
it.
That
I mean,
fast,
you know,
in that narrow area like that?
Yeah, yeah. And,
with an oncoming boat.
With an oncoming, and like I said, 20 foot wide, if it's, you got to be conscientious of everybody around you. I mean, it's not just you out there. There's so many other factors and people that are involved. But anyway, that's my story. And I hope and pray that the remainder of those folks that went down yesterday are good and survive and overcome all that. But, fishing on our side has been, kind of mediocre last couple of weeks, man. I sent you that picture that it's called a Spanish flag grouper.
I've never even seen one before. No, I didn't even know anything like that existed.
Me and you both. So, and I'm gonna give you I'll give you the backstory on it. You know, last week I took the SOD Wives. Let me tell you what. Stellar crew. I mean, these ladies, I couldn't have had a better batch of fishers. I mean, they were absolutely amazing. So we went sword fishing, and we didn't get a single bite. It was terrible. I mean, we sat there for hours on end, and those ladies. So, sword fishing is a lot of just sitting there watching that rod. You want to wait for that bump.
It's paint dry. It's like watching barbed wire rush,
Watch the grass grow. I mean, it's terrible sometimes. And those ladies sat there and stared at that thing, and we baked in that sun all day. It was terrible. And finally, I gave us the ladies, y'all want to go catch fish? Oh, yeah, let's go. And, boy, let me tell you, when I stopped, I said, ladies, we got a very short period of time. When you put some meat on this boat, and those ladies went to work. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And they never stopped until the very end. And I was so proud. And,
awesome.
But anyway, in all that little, shenanigan, we caught that little grouper. And man, when it came up, it's just, the things you see, you just got this second sense of, man, that is rare. I've never seen that before.
I've never heard of one.
Funky weird, yeah. Well, come to find out, of course, a good friend of mine, biologist at Moody Garden and stuff, I called him up, and I'll tell you what, he texted back. I mean, instantaneously, he said, guy, that is a Spanish flag. It's probably the rarest grouper in the Gulf of Mexico. And just apparently, and just till recently, in the last 10 years or so, they didn't even think that they existed in the Gulf of Mexico. So it's very, very rare. And even around the world, even where they do get caught from time to time, they're super rare.
Yeah.
So, we got back, we didn't have a lot of meat to call ours on our trip from last week, but I went to Texas Parks and Wildlife and checked to see if they had a record. Sure enough, they did. And, those particular grouper, they don't get any more than about a foot long. If you see them, I sent that picture to you you know, they've got beautiful yellow stripes. I'll try to post it on the Sitgo's website, but they have some beautiful yellow stripes. Of course, that picture that I took and sent you is she's been sitting up on the table for, you know, a few minutes anyways, and in the box, and she lost a lot of color. But man, when she when she came up,
it's
she just
cool looking
up.
Fish. You know, I've never seen anything like it with that yellow. You know, and then kind of looks like pink base with all the yellow stripes. Even the stripes are on the fins. You know, the dorsal and everything. That's cool looking.
Yeah, really neat. And she has a little red dot right at her bottom dorsal.
And, yeah, is that supposed to be there? That bottom that anal fin.
Yeah, that anal fin. Yep. Yep, that little red dot, man. She's really neat. But you know, you just things when you when people pull up weird and funky stuff. I mean, it's just something that catches my eye almost instantaneously. You know. And long story short, Texas Parks and Wildlife already had one that was 1/10 of a pound bigger, so it did not go for a state record, but it is, I'm talking back and forth with IGFA right now, it could be a world record, so we're really hoping for a world record right now on that
cool.
one. But yeah, I mean, just go out on an everyday trip, you know what I mean, and catch something kind of cool and rare, and man, you just never know.
No, you don't. Not out there in the big water. You never know what's going to bite a hook.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, it's, you know, especially when we beeline our fish and stuff like that with the little small hooks, and we're sitting on top of these reefs. I mean, you come up with some weird, you know, funny looking stuff. I mean, you know, I have you ever seen a queen trigger fish?
No.
You find them a lot. We see them here a lot when the weeds and stuff get to going. You know, in the summer when the mahis and stuff like that, they'll get ganged up underneath those seaweed mats. And I'm talking about the most colorful magenta, the purples, and just fire lit up when the little school comes around that weed line and takes a peek. It's just lit up, and they're just beautiful. You know, we catch some of those and squirrel fish and all kinds of stuff. And yes, I kind of enjoy it, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But
I've been seeing a lot of tile fish lately. I think there's a pending state record. Somebody's waiting to get confirmation on that was weighed in at Pelican Rest.
And yes.
Tile fish, big tile fish.
40 pounds. That's huge.
Boy, man, that's some good eating, too.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. You're not kidding. That is some of the best eating fish there is. Absolutely
yes, is.
Chock full of mercury. Be very careful, apparently.
They're full of mercury?
Boy, they are. And the reason being is because they're so old. The tall fish might be 25, 30 years old when he gets that big. I mean,
yeah, and that's what I try to tell the people about eating bigger, more older, mature fish. They have more contaminants in them because they've eaten bait fish for all those years and accumulated that kind of stuff. And they're especially trout and catfish because they have that lentil fat base to their meat, and it collects those contaminants real easily. And that's something new to hear. You know, I've heard about mercury in, you know, offshore fish, but I didn't know it was, I guess the older they are, the more they collect. Just like inshore fish.
Absolutely. The more they eat, you know, throughout their life, I mean, that stuff doesn't dissipate, you know, so it just like you said, it sits in their fatty tissues and stuff like that. And but the tile fish, especially in the deep water, they're one of the oldest fish there is out there. And I say that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot older, but I mean, of the game fish that we catch out there, you know, they are definitely old. And the a 40-pounder, though, let me tell you, that is a giant. We chased around a state record for years, and we got real close. For a long time, the state record was like 29 pounds, 30 pounds right in there somewhere. And, man, we would hit it. We'd be just shy of it by a pound or, you know, half a pound, and just barely missed it. And let me tell you, we searched hard and long for one. And so, yeah, to beat it by 10 pounds, that's huge, you know. And no telling how old that fish is. Golly, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, if it was, they were telling me a 30-pound tile fish is roughly 25 to 30 years old. Unreal. I mean, a 40-pounder's got to be pushing 35, you know. I mean, 40.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, ancient critter, you know. But, yeah, pinning state record. And congratulations to those guys. I mean, you know.
You know, I had a buddy of mine that used to fish and hunt with me and stuff. And he had a guy. He kept his boat in Freeport. And he had a friend on his boat catch a they didn't know it at the time. They didn't know it till they cleaned it. The state record snowy grouper.
Oh, yeah.
They weighted it with 60-something pounds. And they're carving that fish up. And some captain over there, you know, where they run out of, I don't know what marina kept his boat at, but... said, man, y'all are carving up that snowy grouper. That's the biggest one I've ever seen. And how much did it weigh? And David told him, well, I think it was 63 and a half pounds or whatever. And he said, my God, the state record's 40-something pounds. And they ate a state record snowy grouper. So,
You know, it pays to stay in tune to that kind of stuff. I mean, you just never know. I mean, just like that fish yesterday.
Yeah, offshore species, there's so many of them, you know, that you're just not aware of all the records. That's probably happened several times, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
With offshore fish.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, tons, Jeff, let me do this commercial break. I'll come back to you. Hang on with me just a second, bud.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, you know, Texan Roofing, they're the people I trust. Texan Roofing covers Houston and surrounding areas, and Texan Roofing has free estimates on any roof leak repair or replacement. They do residential and commercial roofing. Texan Roofing has the Better Business Bureau A-plus rating with no complaints ever, and they're certified as a GAF Master Elite shingle applicator. So they can offer their customers the best material warranties available, and most importantly, a 25-year leak-free warranty, along with honest roof inspections, treating customers like family with A-plus installers and A-plus management. These are reasons to call Texan Roofing at 281-391-9600. That's 281-391-9600 or texanroofing.com. That's Texan Roofing, experience you can trust.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
My Maria, don't you know?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 5:36 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Jeff Naylor. Okay, Jeff, we're back, man.
What's going on? So, yeah, I mean, speaking of tile fish, you know, and that's another thing, too. You know, I learned early on, too, when I started doing deep drop stuff, is that, you know, those fish are super old, and you can absolutely fish out an area with tile fish. I mean, you know, you know, nowadays with just so many people out there, they get so much pressure, you know, really was thinking about last weekend. We were sitting out there sword fishing at the hilltops and, mm-hmm. and around that area and up and down. And I mean, everywhere I looked, there was, you know, four or five boats on every little spot out there. And, you know, it's just something you just didn't see, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, very rarely. I mean, you know, it's just something you would do on the way back in, or, you know, and now you have folks camped out there, which is great. I mean, it's a great fishery, and I'm glad that everybody's getting to enjoy it and everything. But it's just something also to think about, is that, you know, when you're fishing in a fishery that has that old a fish, you know, you yeah. can make them go away super fast. I mean, it doesn't take much, you know. And, you know, so I hope everybody kind of thinks about conservation a little bit when you're out there, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of species that apparently out there in the deep that aren't that, you know, barrel fish, hakes. Some of those other groupers, some of the snowy groupers are very sustainable type fish, you know, in terms of that. You know, it's real weird too, the tile fish, when you're out there fishing on the big hills and stuff like that, the tile fish tend to like to be on the, like a drop off on the side, you know, the hill, stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, the barrel fish will typically be on the flatter side, either on the bottom
the
of the hill
part,
or the very top. Yeah. And, you know, those little tilefish, they'll bury themselves. They'll make like a little divot in the ocean bottom, and they kind of live in that. And so
really?
It's real weird when you go across them, you know, using your sonar and stuff, you can't really spot them, you know. And if there's a bunch of them around somewhere, I can sit there and watch my screen, and you can kind of see like little anomalies in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And believe that to be tilefish holes or some kind of a marking of a tilefish. And but it's just real strange how you can't really see them. Now, the barrelfish and stuff like that, they'll stay schooled up. So you can kind of go by and you'll see like a little bush on the bottom, you know, type thing. And grouper are the same way too. You know, they'll be kind of in and around the rocks or the bumpy areas. But yeah, they're definitely getting hit real hard, you know, nowadays. And, you know, which it's just kind of how it goes, you know, but, for somebody to catch a 40-pounder again, it's just that's super. I mean, that's amazing. And there is still a lot of places that you know, people probably didn't fish. You know, it is kind of somewhat in its infancy in terms of how many people are out there doing it. So, you know, you just keep exploring. You never know. It you just might reel up a world record.
Well, that's true.
So, and but yeah, that's the fun part about it, for sure. But you know, I've been preaching about the shrimp boats for the last couple of months, and let me tell you what, they have been super hot, super productive. Well, until 2 weeks, you know, last weekend and this weekend has just been dead. A lot of spinning the wheels, which is, you know what, somebody was asking me the other day about what does a hurricane do to, you know, the hurricane like that went into Florida, what did that do to here? You know, in my experience, and I'm not a meteorologist or anything, but, you know, in my experience, it can go both ways. You know, typically when it stays that far away, it doesn't quite have enough current and stir up our part of the Gulf enough to really change the fish. But what this one did is there is green, murky, nasty water, man, for miles out. I think we were 70 miles out yesterday, and it's just murky as far as you can see. There was a little bit of blue water that was down south, and it's not really blue. It's just kind of murky blue. But, not helping the blackfin tuna fishing in the shrimp boats. You know, in general, that's not a real good thing. I have caught them in green water, but, generally you don't really do well. But, that's how it's been this whole weekend. It's just, you know, every boat that we've hit has just been in murky, murky, nasty green water. And so the shrimp boat's kind of turned off to a degree, and just the amount of sharks is just astonishing.
Yeah, they're starting to pull out of the shallows, the bays and everything, and moving back offshore. I bet they are thick.
Holy cow.
I saw more sharks in our bays this year than I can ever recall.
Yeah. And talking to some of the old timers around here too, they would always tell me about, and I've heard stories about, you know, you'd have bad years, but really it'd be like a bad month, you know, maybe 2 months, something like that. And in general, they're kind of centralized in one location. Either they're down south, or they're more, you know, north or east or what have you. But, this year, I mean, you can't stop on anything. I mean, you can barely get fish up off the reef sometimes. I mean, it's crazy, you know. And I mean, you know, I
look
hate to say
Jeff
it, but
over there in Venice this year, he quit snapper fishing. It wasn't even worth the effort. I mean, they were eating 90% of the fish they were reeling up.
Wow. Oh yeah, unbelievable. I mean, it's just been really, really bad. And it really, you know, I'm curious to see as the you know, next year kind of unfolds. Is this something that's going to be a trending thing nowadays? I mean, have you ever heard of like a shark-a-thon or something like that? I know we do a lot of tournaments on everything else, and I know it's a very touchy subject, even with sharks, you know, but I'd vote for one, you know. That's all I'm saying. It, it's been tough. It's been really, really tough. And I can't really make heads or tails of it. I don't know what makes them, boom in population like this. I mean, general.
I've seen some interviews, even Fox National News has done interviews on shark populations with experts, and they just said that's how healthy our oceans are now. And it's just a boom. And with the, they're protected somewhat now, and it's been an explosion of them. They're super predators, buddy.
Boy, you ain't kidding. I mean, they,
boy, you talk about gross. I got my TV on in there, and I just watched a guy kill a monkey, then skin it out, and then burn it, get all the hair off of it, and then go in the river and scrape it. And he's cooking the whole monkey. Well, it's meat eater. You know, I saw this guy eat a coyote one time. He said he'd never do it again, but they're fixing to eat a monkey on meat eater. I'm going, seriously?
Wow. Wow. Man.
Looks like an alien over the fire, all tied up and over these sticks laying there, still got the head on it. I'm going, this is nasty. What people do. It makes for good TV, I guess.
There you go, man.
I'm not impressed. Makes for fun talk on radio, though.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, let's eat some monkey this morning. How about monkey for breakfast? Good Lord.
Where are we going now, Dave?
I'd rather have a piece of that tilefish we were talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, Plog brought me some a couple of years ago, and man, that was the best stuff I ever wrapped my lips around. That is one incredible fish to eat. But now I'm leery because you said they're full of mercury.
Yeah,
like Chavo, a buddy of mine, he caught a bunch of tilefish, and he said he wanted to bring me some. And he said, hey, you only live once, brother. Might as well enjoy it. Eat you some tilefish.
That's it. A little bit ain't going to kill you anyways. Yeah, I mean, if you look at
the portion, we had dad from all the trout we've eaten up my way over the years, nothing's going to kill us.
Yeah, you're set. Heck, I mean, you might even be, anyways. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. If you look at the portions that they tell you to eat, I mean, the top is real small. It ain't but 6 ounces or something like that.
Right.
But you know what? I really think to myself, I mean, is it, the tilefish apparently tend to stay in one spot for really long times. I mean, is there certain places that, it would be more prone to getting mercury or something like that? I mean,
well, they are, like you said, they're on the bottom like that, and that's where mercury collects on the bottom.
Sure.
Hell, I heard there was enough mercury on the bottom of the Houston Ship Channel up north of the Fred Hartman. They could mine it. There's so much of it.
Golly.
From collecting over the years, it never goes away. It's one of those forever chemicals.
Sure. I'm sure at one point in time they will. Yeah. Man, it's wild. I mean, now we always hear about the flower gardens being so, full of mercury and stuff like that, but it's, due to the currents that go that direction, in certain areas, from what I understand. But, there's just so many little hills and valleys and all kinds of stuff out there,
Oh, God, they just pulled that monkey off the fire. It looks all burnt up. He's filleting the meat off the bones now. Now he's putting in a pot of nasty-looking boiling water. I don't know. I don't know where this is going on in the Amazon or somewhere, but, I'll stick with tilefish. They can have that monkey.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Man, I hear Sharky yesterday, he was saying he's struggling a little bit on the kingfish over that way still. I mean, pretty much everybody
been
doing
that kind of
thing.
Year, hadn't it?
Man, terrible. Been terrible. And right now is the time to get them, too. They, they'll come and get ganged up real good about this time of year. But, man, every place we stop, it's blank, blank, blank. I hear about a few people still catching them down south. And there's a guy or two over in Galveston, too, a couple days ago that was preaching about it. But, otherwise, it's been dead. So, man, hopefully next year's a lot better. Jeez, we need it. It certainly makes a box, you know, when you go out there and sharks eat everything and swordfish don't want to play. And, geez, it's sure nice to stop and get a few kingfish. I mean, come on now. Throw me a bone.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That makes the world go round. That's some good action. People love catching them, even if they don't keep them. Catching release on them is fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm telling about that. Yeah. But
did I lose you, Jeff?
No, I'm still here.
I don't know what's up.
But, today we're gonna chase the shrimp boats one more time. We're going to go a little bit further south today. There's a bunch of them, though. Let me tell you.
Did I go off air or what happened here, Cynthia? Can you hear me?
Yellow.
Man, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can't hear
Jeff.
I don't know what happened. It just went for about 10 seconds there. I didn't hear anything. I thought I went off air.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't before.
All right.
No, I was just talking about, kingfish. They're fun to catch and release. You know, everybody loves catching kings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely a crowd pleaser.
Yeah,
you know,
smokers.
We're going to head out to the shrimp boats again today. You got to try them. And back to some AJ fishing. So, luckily, the AJs, that I found have not been in shark-prone waters. So, mm-hmm. We're getting a few of those right now. And there's some decent ones. We have yet to catch any tag ones. You know, Brian Wilson caught two of them about 2 weeks ago, back-to-back. So, they're out there floating around, and for anybody who doesn't know, they Texas Parks and Wildlife is putting tags in the amberjacks, and what they say, they're worth $250, and I want to say that there's some with double tag in it or something to that effect. I mean, it's a good little chunk of change to make a call in on one, but we have yet to catch one. But I'm sure we will at some point, hopefully, anyways.
Right.
We're going to head out to the shrimp boats again. Like I said, just check some down south a little bit, see what we can come up with, make a day out of it. Man, I tell you what, when we took off yesterday, you know, luckily I keep a little hoodie in the boat, you know, but boy, it was chilly. It was a lot chillier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's been nice, man. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't kidding. When that sun was beating down yesterday, it sure nice to have a good cool breeze.
Yeah,
it was real weird though. When we took off yesterday, it was it was still like a ground swell when we left. But that wind was humming. When that swells out, it kind of knocks it down a little bit. But man, when that swell faded away, that old choppiness set in, and it was.
Oh, really?
It was a wet ride home. Yeah, luckily it warmed up a little bit. Going out in that little chilly stuff, that would have been cold.
Yes.
But
we're supposed to have these northeast winds for a while. Just hope they just come on down, because everybody's looking for that real good weather window this week. I mean, as far as rain and everything, I don't see anything in the forecast for a long time. But, man, if we can just knock these winds down and those tarpon guys can get another run on their fish and make it easy on you guys to get out where you're wanting to go.
Yeah.
Man, everybody gets sick of them nasty boat rides, buddy.
You ain't kidding. It's supposed to be real good Monday through Wednesday.
That's what Plog was telling me yesterday when I talked to him. He said he looks like a real good window the next 3 days starting Monday. So hopefully so.
I'm assuming Plog's really just doing tarpon right now.
Yeah, he's running them poons, man. It's
I gotta get connected with that guy, man.
Boy, you need to. That's you'd love that. You'd go ape over that.
Oh man, I need to give him a holler. Yeah, that's one thing I have yet to do too much of is tarpon fishing. I mean, they come and go. You know, when you least expect it, but nothing I've ever.
Yeah, it's seasonal, but you just got to hit it right. If you ever have that one stellar day, you'll be ruined for life. I mean, it'll ruin you. You'll people quit jobs to go tarpon fishing. The run's on. I'm quitting. You won't give me my time off. I quit. I'm going fishing. Kind of like the flounder run. You know, the You know, the flounder pounders, buddy, they take their flounder fishing serious.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's some good catches here recently, you know, as far as flounder goes. I haven't heard of it.
And I've seen some big ones. I saw a picture of an 11.38 and another one that was a 9-something.
You know, last week. What is the state record?
13-something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was caught over at Sabine Lake years ago.
Wow. I mean, geez. Those are monsters, 11 pounds. Is that
typical? That's a doormat for a Sasquatch right there. That's a big flounder.
That's a huge flounder. Golly, man. I it wouldn't be me catching, man. I'm not that lucky. But,
I never have busted 10 pounds on one, but I caught a 9.5 one time on a mirror lure trout fishing. He swallowed an 801, an orange mirror lure with gold sides on it. Sucked it all the way down.
Think you hung on a tree or what? He come
no,
up
I mean, I thought I had a big trout at first because when I set the hook, it came up and shook its head on top and then started ripping drag. I said, man, that's a good fish. Well, it was. I just didn't know it was a flatfish till I got about halfway in. And I couldn't grab it. I didn't, you know, I don't carry a dip net, and there was a little piece of shell sticking up out of the water, and I just drug him up on that and stood on him and grabbed him behind the head, put my thumb up in his gills where I could hold him good, and got the mirror lure out and put that puppy on a stringer.
Wow.
That made for a meal for several people. That was a big one. That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're down there. They're down at the mouth of the Brazos right now, stacked up left and right. I mean, you know, every 5 feet. So I hadn't heard of a bunch. Of course, I hadn't been around and listened to a bunch of stories from inshore. But it's got to be coming real soon, man, especially this good, cool weather saying as long as it is. That nut redfish bite, though, is just on fire. Apparently,
it's still
stellar. Which I'm glad for those
guys. It's
redfish
season right now, buddy.
Boy, I tell you what, man. We were just talking about yesterday. There is nothing. It is really hard to beat a good old bull red trip. You catch 30, 40, 50 bull reds in 4 or 5 hours. I mean, that is, I don't know about tarpon fishing, but that's up there. You know, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting talking to you this morning. That's cool. That was a cool fish you caught. If somebody wants to get with you, Jeff, and come over and run out of Freeport and go out in the blue water and fish with you, how'd they get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a call anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com. And we got a few days left in October. We're coming down November and December, and we'll be back up in January. So give us a holler if you need anything.
All right, buddy. Jeff, thanks for the info and the conversation, and I'll talk to you next week. You be safe, buddy. Catch them up.
All right,
thanks, Jeff.
Sunday.
All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor. Really nice guy, man. Knows his stuff. He's a lot of fun. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.